me. So what am I doing with that? Today we're going to look at stewarding love like Jesus. This is a big one. It's really big. How do we love like Jesus? And we can't put it in one message, so we're going to talk about it from now until like the next 10 years. Just in various forms. So I have a nutshell of love like Jesus today that we're going to talk about. But first, I'm going to invite a guest speaker to the stage, Miss Jewel Anderson, my lovely aunt. She came to me a week or two ago and said, "Hey, I feel like God gave me this message to deliver to the church. Would it be all right if I shared it sometime?" And I said, "Yeah, in a couple of weeks, I'm actually talking about love as stewarding love like Jesus. So I think this would be an appropriate time to talk about extravagant love." All right. So she's going to start the service for us.
To me, God's love is so amazing, but I don't even understand it to the extent that I should. What does extravagant love look like? A father who gives his son for people who would reject him, doubt what he says in his word. A love that knows no bounds, no limits, no end. It's the kind of love that we are commanded to give in John 13:34. "So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other." But there's a catch. How can we give away something that we ourselves have not received? We try and we try and we keep trying, but we just can't get it right. Maybe it's because we're leaving out the most important step. We can't fully give love without fully receiving God's love for ourselves. 1 John 4:19, we love each other because he first loved us. And 1 John 4:9-10, God showed how much he loved us by sending his only son into the world that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. It is not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. How do we love those who have lied to us, who have put us down, who've betrayed us, abandoned us, abused us, stole from us, that did not treat us with respect, who weren't there as parents when we needed parents? We can't do it without living loved. God loves us personally, powerfully, passionately, and with an unfailing love. His love can fill us and leave us with a love worth giving. And in Max Lucado's book, A Love Worth Giving to You at Christmas, he shares this story. A friend organized a cookie swap at their church for their church office staff. The price of admission was a tray of homemade cookies. And you can leave that with as many cookies as you bring. It's simple if you knew how to cook. But he didn't, and so he had a problem. He sent out an email to his staff, "I can't cook, and so I will not be at the party." And none of his assistants or any of the staff had mercy on him. But there was a lady in the church who somehow heard about it. And only moments before the celebration, he was given a gift, a plate of 12 circles of kindness. And by virtue of that gift, he was privileged a place at the party. He went like a prince, carrying a crown on a pillow, because some good soul heard his plea. He was given a place at the table. God did so much more for us than bake us a plate of cookies. In a moment of time, Jesus stood in the tribunal of heaven, sweeping a hand over all of creation. he pleaded. Punish me for their mistakes. See that murderer? Give me his penalty. The adulteress? I'll take her shame. The bigot, the liar, the thief? Do to me what you would do to them. Treat me as you would a sinner. And God did. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Why did Jesus do that? Out of love. 1 Corinthians 13:7 bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That's the love of God. Drink deeply. Let his love cover all things in your life, all the secrets, the things you don't want anybody to know about, all the hurts, all the worries, all the broken promises, all the prejudice. Picture a waterfall of love. Don't just look at it. Walk under it. Let love splash until you are totally saturated in his love. Then you can love like Jesus. And these are the words to a song that I heard the other day called Love by You by Riley Clemens. Sometimes I feel like I'm alone, a bit too broken, unseen, unknown. Sometimes the doubts starts to creep in. So come, remind me once again. I am believed in. I am held on to. Don't have to wonder who I belong to. I'm always wanted, always known, always treasured. It's true. I am loved by you. It's in your blood. It's in your scars. How far you would go to reach my heart. You call me chosen. You call me yours. And that is all that matters forevermore. I don't deserve it. I never could. But you're just that faithful. You're just that good. How lovely it is to be loved by you. I am believed in. I am held on to. Don't have to wonder who I belong to. I'm always wanted, always known, always treasured. It's true. I am loved by you. And in Ephesians 3:17, may your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. Never let anything you have done or not done keep you from experiencing the love that God has for you.
Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for sharing. You have to give and receive love. Not one or the other. First, you have to receive the love that Christ has for you, God has for you, before you can love like God to those around you. For me, this was a challenge early on. I'm really good at giving. I'm pretty generous. I think I am. But receiving was difficult for me, unless I earned it. But to receive a free gift was very difficult, and God and I had some words about that one day. And he showed me this verse that says, it's better to give than receive. And I was like, yeah, I know, God, that's why I give. He goes, yeah, but you're robbing other people of their blessing of giving if you won't receive. And it was like, ooh, gut punch. Like, oh, I need to learn to receive so others can be blessed for giving. It's like, all right, God, if you want to give me a blessing, I'll receive it. And I've received some pretty amazing blessings since then. God is amazing. God is faithful. But receive his love today. He first loved you. When we were still sinners, when we were still enemies of heaven, of the cross, God still loved us. And he showed us that great love by paying the ultimate price with his life on the cross. Receive that love today. So as we love like Jesus, first of all, we have to get kind of an idea of what love is. So 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. I remember this from some little song we used to sing in Sunday school. Yeah, I'll spare you and not sing it for you. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. If God is love, God being the triune God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he is love. He is the pure definition of love. So what else does the word say about love? In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 through 8a. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. This is what love is. This is what perfect love looks like. This is God as love. Love is patient. Love is kind. If you're looking for a future spouse, this is also a really good checklist of are they. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. That, like, is a verse that you could read two or three times a day and meditate on it and marinate on it and self-reflect on it. Am I doing these things in my life? Is this how I'm acting toward others or treating others around me? The world would be a better place. And if we could just take that love like Jesus to the world around us, how much better off would the world be? Am I being patient and kind and trustworthy? Am I being honorable? So as Christians, we're supposed to be Christ-like, right? Love like Christ, or little Christ, or examples of Christ. What's an example of? An example is a reflection. We should be reflecting to the world around us how Jesus loves them, how Jesus cares for them, how Jesus accepts them. We're to be Christ examples to the world around us. We're also to be ambassadors of Christ, defenders, representatives of. When something's going on that is not Christ-like, we can call it out. Say, no, that's not acceptable. Let's do this instead. Not creating conflict, but just speaking up, saying things that need said in the right moment. Also, as Christians, to love like Jesus, we should be followers of, we should be imitating the love he showed. So today we're going to look at a handful of stories of Jesus throughout his life. We should be the hands and feet of Christ extended to the world around us. You can love like Christ in very simple, practical ways, doing physical things that can also be spiritual things, can also be relational things. We should be loving like Christ in all that we do, bringing glory and honor to his name. How do you show or express love each day? Think about it. You don't have to give the answer right now, but think about it in your head. How do I love or show or express love each and every day? Could be physical ways, could be verbal ways, could be writing cards. There are five major love languages. You can express love in a lot of ways. So Luke chapter 2, we find Jesus as a young boy. His family has traveled to Jerusalem for the festival of Passover. They're hanging out and they're getting ready to head back. It's about a day into the journey and they're going, has anybody seen Jesus? Anybody else miss your kid for a day and finally realize it? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. I thought we brought him on this trip, did we not? I know they traveled in big caravans of family groups and people groups. But it says a whole day goes by and they finally realize Jesus is missing. And he is a 12-year-old boy. He's probably pretty responsible and got a good head on his shoulders and can fend for himself. So Joseph and Mary head back into the city to look for Jesus. And it takes them another 3 days to find him. So for 4 days, Jesus has been missing. So he can obviously take care of himself, right? Picking up at verse 46, Luke chapter 2, verse 46. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus loved being in the Father's house, loved learning of the scriptures, loved learning of God's will for his life. Do you want to love like Jesus? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Be in passionate pursuit of the Word of God. Spend time in his word. Spend time with fellow believers if you want to love like Jesus. That's part of his love that we are to steward and steward well in our lives. Another part of that is Jesus is obedient to those in authority over him. He's obedient to his parents. When they say time to go, he doesn't argue. He says, all right, let's go. Part of loving like Jesus is obeying. Being obedient to those God has put over us. That was not quite as easy. Right? We as humans struggle with that. Our pride gets in the way. Our personal ideas get in the way. Our personal, put your word in there, get in the way. Mostly it's just pride. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Right? I know, because as a young child, I often had the Board of Education applied to the seat of knowledge. Some of you don't know what that means. Some of you will get it later. And there's a few of you online saying, they don't allow that anymore. I needed it. I was 99% of the time needing the Board of Education applied to my life. And look what it's done for me. Jesus also grew in wisdom, stature, and favor. I believe for us to grow in wisdom, stature, and favor, we have to know and apply this to our lives. And we have to listen to it. And part of Christ being obedient was listening to the Word of God that tells him to obey. And when we align ourselves with the Word of God, when we walk in his righteousness and not of my own, when we walk in his thinking and understanding and not of my own, then I align myself with wisdom, favor, and stature with God and with man. And if I'm loving like Jesus, I'm going to grow in wisdom, stature, and favor with God and man. There are benefits to it. I highly recommend you align your life with the Word of God. John chapter 2, we see Jesus in another setting. John chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. On the third day, a wedding took place in Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Jesus went about life loving people wherever he was. He's over celebrating with some friends. To love like Jesus, you will celebrate others well. Celebrate those around you. Celebrate their life. I'll never forget. My son was 10 years old. It's his first turkey season. And the weather was a cold, nasty, wet spring, and just which isn't real fun turkey hunting weather. And we had had a struggle of finding a turkey a little bit because it just wasn't good turkey weather. And we finally went up the cellway and called in this bird, and he got it. He was all excited. He's 10 years old, got his first turkey. And it's like, "You want to stop for cheeseburger and fries at the Wilderness up at Lowell?" He's like, "Yeah." What kid doesn't want a cheeseburger and fries and probably a milkshake? I'm sure he had a milkshake. We go in there, and the owner of the restaurant comes out, and, "Oh, you guys been hunting?" "Yeah." And I remember my son being so excited. The guy says, "Did you get anything?" He goes, "Yeah, I got my first turkey." And he was all excited, and the business owner says, "Well, how big was it?" He goes, "It was a Jake," which for those of you that don't hunt turkeys, that's a one-year-old turkey. Just has a beard about this long, usually 2 to 5 inches. And the guy goes, "Oh, that's it? Why didn't you get a big one?" And I was like, jerk move. That is not loving like Jesus. But sometimes we do that to people in our lives and we don't celebrate them well. He was on cloud 9 until this guy started shooting his hot air balloon. And I told him, he probably doesn't even remember it, but for me as a dad, I'm like, "I want to throat chop you right now." If I can be honest, we can be honest in church, right? I didn't. Sin not in your anger. That's scripture too. But celebrate those around you well. Like, my celebration doesn't have to be your celebration. You don't have to celebrate at the same level I do for different things that I do. And vice versa, I don't have to for you. But celebrate those around you well. Celebrate their accomplishments. Often after games, when I'm watching the kids, whether they win or lose, I always go down, tell them good game, and try to point out something they did specifically in the game, a certain shot or block or pass or tackle or whatever. And often I get this response when they lose, when I tell them good game, and, "Yeah, right, we suck." It's like, no, you don't. Just they're a lot better than you. Doesn't mean you suck, but let's celebrate the things you did do well. Like, from first game to this game, you guys have improved tremendously. You're doing great. You're still losing, still an 0-19 record. But you're improving and doing well. Let's celebrate what happened well. So love like Jesus. Celebrate those around you well. Jesus is at this wedding. He's celebrating with his friends, his disciples, this newlywed couple. Jesus then goes on to perform the miracle of turning the water into wine, and we don't have the whole time for that whole story. But I had a good message on it last Easter, so if you want to backtrack and listen to it, you can do that. But this blows my mind. It's like 700 and some odd bottles of wine, if it was bottles today, that Jesus produces for this wedding. But God is generous. Do you know that we serve a generous God? A God of abundance? Not a God of scarcity and famine, but a God of plenty and abundance. His kingdom is full of good gifts that he is waiting to deliver to you. Will you love like Jesus and be generous to those around you? I've given when it was really easy to give, and I've given when it really hurt to give. But I have lived by this one thing: if my God is generous, I'm going to be generous. And you know what? I used to have nothing, and I gave then. So now when I have something, it's easier to give. And if I have nothing again, I'm still going to give what I have. Because my God is generous, and my God is in control of my future. So love like Jesus. Give generously. Give good gifts. Even when the master of the banquet tasted the wine, he goes to the groom and says, "Wait, why did you save the best for last? Usually you bring out the best wine first, and then when they've had too much to drink, you bring out the garbage. But you served the bad wine first and then brought out the good stuff." Except for he didn't know he had good stuff. Jesus brought the good stuff. Jesus gives good gifts. Love like Jesus, give good gifts. Doesn't have to be an expensive gift, but a gift of meaning. Know the person you're giving the gift to. If you bought me a pair of bunny fuzzy slippers, I'd probably be like, cool. But if you bought me a box of ammunition, I'd be like, good gift. Know the person you're buying a gift for. I tell my wife every year, like, guns and ammo. Look, you can never go wrong with guns and ammo. Just buy me a gift. It can be guns or ammo. I don't care. As long as the ammo goes to something I can shoot. But you got to know who you're getting the gift for. Give good gifts. And overall, Jesus, I looked it up, and when Jesus says woman here, it's not a disrespect like we would think of today in English. But in the Hebrew, it's a form of woman that is not disrespectful. It's just calling her what she is. Respect given to his mother in that. So don't take that out of context. But Jesus gives respect to his mom, and even though he says it's not his time, he's going to obey and do whatever she tells him to do, produce the wine, makes it for the wedding. It's a fabulous story, the first miracle that Jesus performs in his ministry. It kicks off, and we don't have time to get into that today. But love like Jesus, be respectful and obey. Another story, Matthew 21. And this one can be found in all of the Gospels, I believe. But we're going to look at it in Matthew today. Matthew chapter 21, verse 12 through 13. Jesus at the temple. Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. "It is written," he said to them, "my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." Love like Jesus. Build a whip, chase people out, turn some tables over. Okay, Jesus had a reason for doing this, okay? It wasn't that he just showed up and was angry and started flipping stuff. Okay, they were doing this in the house of God. And what they were doing is all the people who had come to bring sacrifice from out of town wouldn't travel with their doves or sheep or cows or whatever they were going to sacrifice. It was probably like the first convenience store. And they started it in the house of God. And so they're traveling in from a long distance, and in order to not have to travel with all their sacrifices and offerings, they would get to the town and then purchase them in Jerusalem. So all these money changers and businessmen say, hey, let's just set up shop in the temple. And then we can upcharge them for their sacrifices and make a lot of profit off of it, because they were taking advantage of the widows and orphans and upcharging them for their sacrifices and offerings. Not to mention they made it a place of business and robbery instead of a house of prayer. So that's why Jesus was upset. And if you look, I believe it's in Luke, it says, when Jesus saw this, he went and made a whip out of cords. So he didn't just come in and blow up on the place and explode. This was carefully thought out and planned. And I believe he was calm and collected as he could be. But he went away and made the whip to drive the animals and the people out of the courts. So how do you love like Jesus? Love gives honor and reverence. Jesus was coming in to give back the house of God, the temple, honor and reverence, to restore order to the house of God, to a house of prayer, and not a thief or a den of thieves and robbers. Love like Jesus, love protects. Jesus was protecting those widows, those orphans that were being robbed by being overcharged for their sacrifices. Love protects. Do you remember reading that in 1 Corinthians? Love protects. Stand up for what is right. Sometimes we have to take a hard stand, and a hard line has to be drawn in the sand. Of, I will stand up for what is right. I will stand up for righteousness. And sometimes it might look like making a whip, and it might look like turning tables over, and it might look like a big scene. But also remember at the end of that verse, sin not in your anger. We can't allow, there is a righteous anger that should well up inside of us that God has given us to stand up for righteousness. But while you're doing that, don't sin. Okay? Love like Jesus. Give honor, give reverence, protect, stand up for what is right. Luke chapter 22. Luke 22, 47 through 51. While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus asked him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, Lord, should we strike with our swords? And like most of us, they didn't wait for the answer. And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, no more of this. And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Love like Jesus. They're coming to arrest him. He's being betrayed by one of his disciples, one of his followers he spent 3 years in the trenches in ministry with. But love like Jesus. What does Jesus do in this moment? He's steady, even in betrayal. His character doesn't change. His integrity doesn't change. His love for Judas doesn't change. But he is steady, constant, even through betrayal. Love like Jesus. Even if you're being betrayed, love like Jesus. Stay steady. Jesus confronts honestly, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? He doesn't ignore or sweep under the rug the fact of what Judas is doing, But he confronts it honestly. Is this really what you're doing, Judas? Don't be afraid to confront things honestly. It doesn't have to be in a confrontational way. But like, is this really what's going on? Is this happening? Love like Jesus. Love like Jesus confronts honestly and openly and creates communication. Love does not conform. There was chaos going on around Jesus. There's an army troop that has just showed up. He's got his disciples with swords. I mean, it's about to be the showdown at the OK Corral. And Jesus doesn't conform to the atmosphere. The atmosphere conforms to him. He brings peace into chaos, or brings calm into chaos. What do you bring into chaos? Next level. You haven't seen me yet. What do you do when chaos is going on around you? I have a really awesome story about this. We don't have time for it today. It involves guns and dogs and many people. But, you know, another day. Jesus responds. Love responds. It doesn't react. It responds. The difference in reaction and responding is reaction is a thermometer. It reads the temperature of the room. Response is the thermostat. It sets the temperature of the room. Jesus responds in chaos. And even in this moment of these people trying to come and take him, kill him, he's about to be left by all of his disciples and abandoned. Jesus heals the servant's ear, the man that's going to arrest him and lead him to his death, or at least one of them. Jesus still reaches out in healing, in love, in compassion. Love like Jesus. Luke 23, 34. Luke 23, 34. Of course, Jesus is now on the cross, has just endured the beating, the beard plucking, the punches, the spitting in his face, the crown of thorns being pounded into his head, been nailed to the cross. He's hanging there naked, bearing the weight of the world, all of our sin, our shame, our regrets. And I believe Jesus didn't just look at the crowd. I believe he looked ahead to all the people of earth. And he said, Jesus said in verse 34, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And it goes on to say, and they divided his clothes by casting of lots. Love like Jesus. Forgive. 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 Jesus forgave you, and he can't forgive you unless you forgive those who trespass against you. Live a life of forgiveness. Forgiveness doesn't mean it was okay. Forgiveness doesn't mean it didn't matter. Forgiveness doesn't mean it didn't hurt. Forgiveness doesn't mean everything's going to go back to normal. Forgiveness means I release you of the debt you owe against me. And I'm willing to move past it. Use forgiveness, love like Christ. I have a couple of stories I want to share. I was thinking, like, how do you share stories of love like Christ without like pumping yourself up or making? I'm like, I can't share stories where I have love like Christ. I would just feel like that would be pumping me up. I have a couple of stories where I have experienced love like Christ and not love like Christ. So, 20 some years ago, I was guiding a lion hunt. I wasn't following God at this time or Christ in my life. I was feeling the Holy Spirit speaking to me and starting to draw me back into relationship with him. And I'd started reading my Bible again and was praying and talking to God, but I worked in the mountains, so I wasn't going to church. But we had this one lion hunter coming, and I found out that he was a Pentecostal televangelist. So a very world-famous televangelist, and I was like kind of feeling some hope or excitement, like maybe I could talk to this guy during the hunt and like get my life back on track and start serving Jesus again, and I was pretty excited about it. And then I met this man who was on vacation. And you don't have to act like Christ on vacation, apparently. And he treated me so horribly. I was like, yep, I don't want anything to do with your people, God. And it was a year or so later before I got my life back on track and started going to church. But I was so wounded by that because he didn't love like Christ. But it also taught me something. Like, if you love like Christ, like, your love always has to be on. Like, I know you're going to have bad days, and we're going to screw up, and we're going to have failures. But when we do fail, acknowledge it, ask forgiveness, repent. If you need restitution, make restitution. But move on, move forward, move past it. Don't stay in it. But then there was this other experience I had as a young boy. We would go visit my grandpa long once or twice a year. I didn't get to see him a whole lot. He lived up in Spokane, and whenever we would go visit him, like, everything was in order, and like, he had to be quiet in the house, and there was no running and playing, and outside was his really nice garden and his fruit orchard, and like, you don't touch the trees and you don't touch the garden, and you just, everything was pretty orderly. And it felt like as a kid you were like this. Like, don't do stuff or you get in trouble. And maybe that was just me because I was rambunctious and it was before ADD was invented. And they just called us hyper. So one day I was like, there's this magnificent cherry tree. And I loved climbing trees. Like, I'm going to go climb this tree. And I went out and I climbed up this tree and I was climbing way out on this limb and all of a sudden the limb broke. And I was a pretty little guy, so it seems like the limb was about this big. I don't remember for sure, but anyways, as we toppled out of the tree, this limb and I, like, I remember landing flat on my back and this limb came and just smashed me and like took my breath away and it was like, and my brothers went running in the house and I don't remember if they got my mom or dad, maybe both. And my mom's like, you're going to have to tell grandpa. I'm like, I would rather die right now. And up to that point, my granddad had always seemed very gruff and like stoic. And like, oh, I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want to get a whipping. I was nervous. And so my mom walked me into the house and I was going to talk to grandpa. And I was like, I don't remember my exact words, but I was like, I have something I need to tell you. It's like, I was climbing in your cherry tree. Super nervous. And finally I tell him I climbed up, limb broke, we fell. And his first response was, are you okay? I don't care about the tree. Love like Jesus. Look at people first. Are they okay? I know the car's totaled. That's all right. We'll get to that. But are you okay? I know your life's a mess, but are you okay? What need can we meet right now? And my grandfather scooped me up and set me on his knee. And that's the only time I remember being held by my granddad. But it was so tender and so loving that it completely changed my outlook on who he was. One simple act of kindness, love like Jesus, can completely change somebody's outlook on how they see him. As a loving, compassionate, generous, forgiving, God. Will you steward your love like Jesus well, so that others could have that life-altering moment with him? Where do you need to love more like Jesus? That's your homework this week. Go home, think on it, ponder on it. Where do you need to love more like Jesus? What does extravagant love look like in your life? Father, we thank you, Lord God. God, for your great love that you first showed us. God, even when we were not lovers of you. God, I ask that you would reveal to each one of us, God, the love and care that you have for us. God, that our eyes would be open, that we would experience, God, that we would know it deeper. God, in a way we never thought possible, that we would experience your love this week. God, that we would receive it from you, God, in order to give it to those around us. And God, I ask that you would use us to be your hands and feet extended in love and generosity to the world around us. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.